Hello, you're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. This is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. My name is Ben Lai. Starting off the show tonight, we have a live act in studio. Very excited for this. Right now, I introduce you, live in studio, Devours.
I'm always on the run. pictures of Grant.
Love, surrender. Thank you. This next song is called Late Bloomer. Still listening. I have a few songs left. I'm going to stick to the new album. It's called Iconoclast. This next song is about body image, and it's called Forbidden Gloom.
Thank you. How do you know this is even related? You did a lot of things last summer.
Yeah, well, only one murder comes to mind.
Release me. I'm done.
festive hours, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR.ca. It's 101.9 FM. Do not go anywhere. I'll be back with Devourers right after these short messages to chat about everything.
Drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
You're waking the neighbors! Shut up! No!
The Alliance for Arts and Culture has launched a new project called Spacefinder. It's a free-to-list, free-to-search database that helps artists find spaces they need for performance, rehearsal, exhibition, and more. You can search by area, price, and space needs. Go to bc.spacefinder.org to find or list your space now.
A woman smiled at me and said, "Is there anything you'd like to know about the neighborhood?"
Remember when you first learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website, www.spec.bc.ca, for more information.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Hey, we are back on Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. I am Ben. I am in studio right now. Hopefully I got the right mic on. It's been doing it for like 20 years and I still don't know which mic is which. With Devourers, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ben.
Thank you so much for coming in. That set was fantastic. Finally got you on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
It's been...
I've been a fan for ages. I've been watching your videos for ages. I'm happy to be here. So.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. You're no stranger to CITR, especially, I think, this past week or so, or, well, a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You were, like, on Audrey's show?
Yeah, I was on Too Dreamy.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And I was also on Dunkin's Donuts, yeah. Planet Devourers edition. Dunkin' was amazing and let me take the show over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I managed to curate the show and host it, and it was a lot of fun. It was cool.
Yeah, awesome. Have you ever done radio? Have you thought about doing radio or doing DJ, any sort of thing?
Funny question. So when I was a teenager, I used to make... Like, I would get cassette tapes,
yeah.
And I would pretend to be a radio DJ, and I would just sort of, like, have really silly banter, and then I would introduce a bunch of different bands, but the bands were all, like, me, like, different, like, solo projects. Yeah, a lot of them were really bad. And then some were, like, collaborations with my sister, and then a few would be collaborations, like, different projects with a few of my friends. But, yeah. And so, yeah, I spent many years doing that, and I, yeah, would like to think that I...
That sounds
still
awesome.
Like, hold on to a little bit of that, but I'm a little rusty. So
that sounds awesome. Was it literally just like one of those boombox with a record button,
yep.
Or do you actually have an actual mic?
Yeah, back in the 90s. No, I didn't have a proper mic. It was
like, how much do you
very
have
DIY?
Do you have like a DJ name?
I was Rockin' DJ Jeff, and some of my bands were Kitty Litter, The Crystal Ambassador, Key West. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome. And because. I also, I've done this when I was a child too, but I also do like fake traffic report.
Oh, wow.
I also do the weather.
I've never done that. That's cool.
You're just straight up music. You're just a straight up music.
Yeah. I guess sometimes contests, like really silly contests.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I never traffic.
Cool. Contests, like would your like sister be calling? Like you would pretend to have a caller? Or,
it was or like trivia, kind of. Yeah, we never had any callers.
we
kind of created our own world, and it was fun.
That's awesome. let's talk a bit about you. I actually didn't know this until I started reading it, but you're originally from Nanaimo?
Yes. I grew up in Nanaimo, spent my first 17 years there, and then moved to Victoria to go to university. So I was there for 5 years, and then I lived in Montreal for 3 years, and then I moved to Vancouver.
So that's quite the adventure almost in a way. So what, when you moved to Vancouver, was that like, this is where I'm going to be for quite a while? And then you decided to come back to Vancouver?
Or? Yeah. My parents still live on the island, and it was nice to be a bit closer to them. Also, I got into the Art Institute of Vancouver, and so that was the main reason why I moved to Vancouver. So, I just went to school for a year, and then it's been a roller coaster ever right. since of like unemployment and trying to find work and survive in this city as a musician.
Right, fair enough. It's like a lot of, so Nanaimo, like, but there's a lot of current Vancouver bands or bands that gone through Vancouver that were from Nanaimo, including like, you know, like Adrian Teacher from Apollo Ghost and like Brian from like Japan Droids, just to name like two
Loren
of them.
Loren from Jock Chaser are a
like some of the biggest, like, which is crazy because I don't hear about that from, you know, I don't know, I'm going to name like nothing from Kamloops or something, you know, not as much, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know what it is about Nanaimo. I don't really have like much insight or an answer. Nanaimo wasn't great growing up. It has grown a lot and it's actually really cool now. I just played there with S. Lord Efferman. This past weekend, we went on a little mini tour of the island and played the vault in Nanaimo. And there were so many people and it was really, really fun. And the openers were from Nanaimo and they were really cool. And it is, yeah, I never envisioned it growing up there. It's like actually cool now.
Sweet. Is that one of your first shows back in, like, that you played in Nanaimo? Or?
Yeah, like when I was growing up, I didn't really perform live. I was definitely like a bedroom musician through and through, just like stayed in my bedroom. I went to punk shows every so often, but yeah, I never really performed there. And then my first time performing in Nanaimo, I think it was just a year ago, because I did a mini, like an island tour with Kelarissa. And then we also performed at The Vault that time, and it's just such a cool venue. It's great. But yeah, Nanaimo, I'm in love with it now.
What was that, like a special, not the, I don't know, pressure is a word, but like significance of just playing in Nanaimo, because like you know that's where you grew up and this is like the first time you actually played in.
Yeah,
like,
it was a little bit nerve-wracking because my parents were there and they brought some of their friends and who had never seen me before and so yeah, that was stressful but really nice that
and
they came.
And did they like it? They must.
They were polite after especially this time around because I have an upside down cross on my forehead and a few of my like parents' friends are quite religious and they were supportive and that was really nice. But yeah, not many friends from back in the day. Like I guess too many years have gone by now and like most people have moved away or I just don't have a lot of friends really from my childhood, which is too bad, I guess.
Yeah, that's like the oldest. I mean, like I sort of spend a couple of years in Richmond because I'm from Winnipeg and I go to Richmond as I don't know anyone and like,
sure
it's just like it's so long ago and you've got your new friends and such now so you're doing bedroom music and stuff and like what are your influences, because it said like on your album like this new album there's like you listed various things but like you say
I'm obsessed
video, like
with
music.
new metal
there's new metal
people
and you
think
post,
I'm being ironic
and you
post, and sarcastic
and you have a clip of like that butterfly what was that
crazy town butterfly. I mean that was my youth like I totally
so that and
me
like
growing up
right and like new metal is like that and like the band like the Take My Life in what band was that? Like This Is My Last Resort, isn't that like that?
Papa Roach.
Isn't that that's new metal-ish?
Is new metal. That is new metal through and through. Yeah, I didn't get
but you
too
didn't.
Big into Papa Roach, but everything like Slipnot, Mudvayne, Korn, Deftones, Disturbed, System of a Down. I could go on. Like that was when I was 14. I needed it, and it was amazing, and I still listen to it sometimes. So yeah, that was big. Also at that point in time. Like during my formative years, there were like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. And so I think that I've always had a sweet tooth. I really like bubblegum pop music. And yeah, also, I mean, in terms of electronic stuff, I think that Moby is a huge influence. Mm-hmm. Enigma, Nine Inch Nails for sure. Trent Reznor is brilliant. I could go on.
So when did you actually start? Other than your radio DJ days, just doing
making music.
Yeah, making music.
Oh, since I guess I was maybe 10?
10.
Yeah, so I was a child.
And did it follow like the stuff you're listening? Like, were you into new metal? Were you doing some like trying to do that similar style? Or
absolutely.
It,
yeah. I guess some of it was just like experimental at the time. What's funny is that the keyboard that I still use, or like the synth that I still use today and that I perform with, was the keyboard that I grew up with. And so that's kind of special.
Yeah.
It's very, very sentimental. It's like probably the most special thing that I own. And I'm like always freaked out when I perform live with it because it's kind of dying. And I can't get it fixed because the company's out of business. It's a long story. But it is my baby and I try to take good care of it. But yeah, so I mean, I grew up just making a lot of instrumental music with that keyboard, just layering different things.
Did you use like a computer then, or is it sort of arrangement?
No, the keyboard, or I guess I should say the synth.
Yeah,
it is like at the time, I guess I was maybe 93 or so when my parents got it for me, and it was a good quality synth at the time. There are a lot of different sounds on it. You can layer tracks in it. Kind of like what a computer or Logic or something does now. So I could layer, I think, up to like eight separate tracks, and so yeah, I would do that, and yeah, like all different genres. I was trying to learn and try different things. So
that's fantastic. And did you do any music when you were like Montreal at all? Because that's a pretty
absolutely big, yeah. Those were tough years. I was definitely trying to launch my career in Montreal, and it didn't quite happen for me. I released a lot of music, actually, like a number of albums when I was there that just didn't really get heard by anyone. I think that I was, making music that wasn't really trendy. I wasn't wearing cool clothes. I was a little young. I wasn't out of the closet yet. There are a number of like things I can point to where it's like, oh, I guess, yeah, that's why like no one would give me like book shows for me. Like, I just couldn't really get into the scene. It was really, really difficult. And so, even moving to Vancouver, it took years. It's
the like any music community in a big city is really, really hard to break into. You sort of need to know the right people at the right time and then have the right look and sound. And it's like very, very hard to break in. And it took me until I was 30. But here I am. Yay. The last few years have been better.
Did you feel like there's like a point or something that changed, or is it just gradually that you know more people or
I think it just took time. You know, like Vancouver, I don't believe that Vancouver is overly clicky. It's just like a big city. And when you don't have any roots here and you move here when you're a little bit older, like mid 20s or older, it's just hard. In any big city, it's really hard to build a foundation. And so, yeah, it just takes years of meeting people and like going to shows, I guess. And so, yeah, eventually I had just met a few people who took a chance on me and gave me a few shows. And then Discorder took a big chance on me 3 years ago and had me in their magazine. And then Music Waste said yes to me. And there were just a handful of things all at once where I was like, oh, my God, my fortune is changing. Like, it was amazing, you know, like I just figured that I was a lost cause. So,
right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I guess it doesn't come in like it comes in waves. Or
yeah. I also just think that like for a number of years in Vancouver, I was just making instrumental music and was trying to book shows in the electronic scene, which again, like my music just didn't make sense. It just doesn't sound like anything else really in the scene, or like at that time, I guess it was like 2013 or so. And so, yeah, I was just like struggling constantly. I couldn't get anywhere. And then I sort of like relaunched Devours and made it more of like a streamlined synth pop act and started singing. So that was the big change. I think that has helped me break through a little bit more. And so, I think that's what it was ultimately. It was just like the stars aligning and having Late Bloomer, which was my first album. I had just finished making that and I could send it around to people. And I think that people were connecting with it, I guess. And so they took a chance on me.
Were you just trying not to sing before, or is it just
I just the way hate my voice.
Oh, well, you got a great voice.
Thanks. It's probably like when it comes to music overall, it's my biggest insecurity. I think that I was a part of a choir, an East Van choir called Esquire, for a number of years. I'm still dabbling in it, and it is great. We sing pop songs and stuff. It's really fun. It's just not like professional or like choir or like religious music or anything. But yeah, so that helped build my confidence a little bit. And yeah.
I was at your record release show at Sonic Jupiter, and I ran into people that, you know, that I didn't recognize, and they were just talking because everyone was having a great time. It was a great show.
Thank you.
By the way, it was super fun.
Thanks.
Everyone having a good time. My story was that, like, it just ran, like, people, like, it was packed. It was packed. People in front of me, so you were just bumping into people, but people were very nice.
Yeah.
And I talked to one person at least. He said, how do you know? He was like, how do you know Jeff? He's like, oh, through music. And he goes, how do you know Jeff? And he's, oh, he's in my choir.
Oh.
Yeah, so it must be one of your choir friends.
Oh, who it was. Yeah, a few friends from choir came. Which is great.
Yeah.
I was very grateful for that. Yeah, lots of good people.
Yeah, and people were singing along to a lot of the songs. It was a really fun show. And yeah, let's get to that. So that is a new release, Iconoclast.
Yeah, Iconoclast. My sophomore album is finally out.
And you recorded, wrote, and
mixed and mastered it on Planet Devours.
All by yourself. So how...
Yeah, DIY.
So that must have took a while.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, writing the music didn't take too long. I was just very inspired, I guess. It just came at a time where I had a lot of things to sing about. And yeah, mixing took forever. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I have a very imperfect voice. And so it was just a few months of like constantly retuning my vocals to make them sound to like the level where I was happy with them. And yeah, mastering was really fast. But yeah, just in terms, like, this is my first time working with a label, and sometimes it takes a while for things to get released. And so that was ultimately, like, the longest wait, I suppose, was having it be done and then just waiting for it to come out.
And tell me about the label a little bit.
Sure. They are called Artifact Records. They're based in Toronto. And yeah, I'm grateful that they took a chance on me with this album. So
So you were saying, being a perfectionist. I know that when I, like, write things, like when I was writing an article for the whatever paper and stuff, that guy would, literally on the last minute, I'll still be trying to edit, you know, rearranging sentences. I feel like with music, it's even harder. Like, at what point do you just go, I gotta...
Exactly, yeah. It's really hard to know when to stop, or, mm-hmm. like, when it's done, quote-unquote.
Were you sending
I try it? To just go with my instincts. Again, I've been making music since I was a kid, and I am not a pro, but I guess, like, over time, I've learned to trust my instincts and be like, I think this is done. Like,
right. It's... Were there a few people that you trusted? Maybe you were sending them some little clips, or you just pretty much...
Not really. Yeah. This was kind of daring now that I think about it. Yeah, like this album totally could have bombed, and maybe it is bombing. I've had a few friends tell me that they like it, which is nice.
Sounds great.
But it's hard to know. Sometimes it's good to collaborate and have like a studio filled with people telling you yes or no. And so, I didn't really have that, and very few people... heard the album before last week. It was just like
it sounded great.
Thanks.
And I think I was reading somewhere, maybe you were saying, because it's sort of like a DIY project, but at the same time the genre of music is like a dance, and it needs to sound like professional, and it totally does. It has the both
thanks. Yeah,
I don't know if the right word for it, but
I've had like professional gigs as a music editor, and I've also done some like freelance gigs for TV commercials, and I haven't really like worked that into my narrative as Devourers too much, but over the years I've had a bit of like professional experience, and all throughout my 20s I really wanted to just be a better producer with electronic music, because that's kind of what I grew up doing like in my teens. It's funny because like I want it to be like bedroom pop. I like having that as like a label or a genre or whatever, but it's I suppose fairly like polished. I'm not trying to it be on top 40 radio or anything
but
I'm just trying to make it sound good, I guess. It's like a reflection of where I'm at in my like life as a producer.
I think what I'm just trying to say is like if you're like just like a like a pop rock band, or just like a garage band, if you just record on a 4-track, a little bit of fuzz, and it just kind of whatever, people are like, oh, that's endearing because it's like a garage sounding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas I don't know if like kind of electronic,
I think that lo-fi bedroom pop can be very endearing, and I think that it sounds great. I actually really love lo-fi stuff, but yeah, maybe I don't know if that is like my calling, or if it's like the right sound for Devourers right now.
I think that's tougher on certain genre of music too, right?
Or just
certain sound.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of again, like with the influence in the music, I don't know if you know this, but like you use the actually just totally jumping around. Anyways, underwhelm is a word that you use quite a few times in your songs.
Yeah,
and that's semi-famously from a Sloan song.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah,
where they said, you know, it's not actually a word, which is a word.
Oh. Yeah,
like with
I thought it was a word,
but like the song Underwhelm.
Looked it up.
But it's actually a word. Well, because like the song is like the songs are "She Was Underwhelmed," if that's a word, and then I know it's not because I looked it up. But
of course,
So, was that like was it any song reference in it, or is it just a word that you were throwing out?
Yeah, I mean, it's I try to have some like self-deprecating lyrics. I always have had that. And it's in the song Curmudgeon, and the song is just me kind of poking fun at myself for being old and crotchety and being like trapped in nostalgia, and me just being a little bit jaded now. Like I'm in my 30s, and it's just like nothing really impresses me anymore. I'm always kind of like sad and underwhelmed.
I got some fun songs and some references. So I was looking at the you said the influences for the new album is Nirvana, Aqua.
Oh, that's
what it says.
Yeah, totally. I posted that a few weeks ago. Yeah, all classics.
And classic, you got like Share with Believe.
Yeah, that song is iconic. Yeah. Absolutely. It does not get enough credit. First time I ever heard autotune, it like shattered me when I heard that. I didn't know what planet it came from. It was very influential, for sure. Like, that's a great song.
Yeah. And there are like a bit of like Nintendo styling. Did you actually sample, or is it just simulated? Or you don't have to just actually sample anything from an actual game? Or
No, not directly. I guess I like faked it. I don't know how else to describe it. But yeah, nothing was like directly sampled from Game Boy or anything.
But you're just using like the synth to do it. Like, is there?
Yeah.
Like, is there, like, are you like, into, like, old Nintendo back in the day?
Yeah, I'm not really a gamer. I stopped following Nintendo after, like, Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's, I would like to think I can tear it up in Mario Kart. Like, right. For sure, racing games are really fun. I really like old Nintendo, Super Mario Brothers 3. So, yeah, when I was a kid, I played a ton of video games and then stopped when
I... But the music in those years, it's kind of iconic, whereas, I mean, new games now, the music is just like, you know, just...
It's really just cinematic. Yeah, the music is good. But
Back then, it's like they have way less to work with. And as soon as you hear a couple, like, you know, notes and stuff, and you know this is like a Nintendo or Sega kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I guess I just love the sound of that old school stuff. I'm trapped in nostalgia, as always. I'm very nostalgic. So I guess that's like what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's coming back, though. Like the whole Nintendo, you know, all that Nintendo stuff. There's a console that came out, the old Nintendo Classic, is flying off the shelves.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. That is cool. I'm not following it too closely, but that's cool that they did that.
But in main media, actually, 90s is back because I just watched the new Marvel movie, Captain Marvel.
Ah, okay.
And it's,
I have not seen that.
Yeah, it's like a big Hollywood super budget movie.
Sure, yeah.
But it's like a totally 90s movie. Like it happened in the 90s, and they have like reference to like, you know, all the band, like No Doubt, Elastica, and all
that. Oh, my God.
Like, Nirvana, one of the main part was, like, Heart Shaped Box was in it, and they got, like, Street Fight, and everything.
Cool. I will have to check that out. It crosses my mind every so often, and I think, like, are we trapped in an 80s/90s loop forever now? It's crazy.
It's just going to rotate.
You put anything out that sounds synthy and it's like, oh, it's 80s.
Yeah.
Or you do anything with guitars and it's like, oh, it's 90s. And I'm curious to know within the next like 15, 20 years if we're just going to be trapped in the 80s and 90s loop forever.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
I feel like the 90s is going to come up by a lot because 80s sort of seemed to be on and on and on and then died down and on again. I wonder because 90 was still kind of maybe recent. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like in the early 2010s, it kind of felt like college rock, indie rock, whatever of like the early 90s came back. Now we're in this big like post-punk movement, which I guess is kind of 80s again. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just like always in the 80s and 90s.
I saw a band at the recently. They were just touring. Oh man, I can't believe they open up for. Anyways, they open up for a Toronto, whatever Toronto band, and it's a bunch of relatively young people. They're from like Texas or something, and it totally just so like full grunge, like they looked like they would not have been born during the years, but yeah, totally grunge, and the singer sound like the singer from like Silverchair.
Were they called the Gins?
No, but they're from well, the Gins. They're on the, no, this band was actually from Texas.
Cool.
The Gins, the Gins are totally. They were on the show during the fun drive 2 weeks ago, and
oh, cool.
They have a new video.
Okay.
That came out. So and it had and I did talk to them about it. There was a janitor like mopping the floor in the school. There were a bunch of kids like dancing around. It like totally smells like Teen Spirit.
Oh, wow. Okay, 100%. I'll have to check it out.
But I talked to them before. They said, no, originally they were supposed to shoot it outside and no janitor, no anything. But the weather was bad, so they moved it indoor.
Oh.
And then they changed. And they just
made it up.
Like they had people. They just said there was supposed to be a totally different theme. And then whoever directed it just like change it to that, but no, it's like very smells like Teen Spirit.
Very similar. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
It's super. Anyways, enough about a different band. So actually, before we go too much further, there's a show you're playing tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a big one. I can't wait. It's going to be with Sightlines for their tour kickoff, and Club Sofa and Douse are also on the bill, and I'm opening the show. And so it's at Redgate tomorrow. Friday, and I play at 9:15, I think. And so, please come early and support the bands.
Nice. Yeah. So
it'll be good because this is one big thing where I have a new banner. I'm so excited about it. I'm done with the tiger logo. So excited for a new one. And I wanted to debut it at my release show a week ago, which I did, but Static Jupiter doesn't really have a raised stage and only like a few people in the front could see it. And so tomorrow is a big one for me because I'm going to get up on that stage at Redgate and people are going to see the banner.
You did bring it here tonight and it is on video, but since it won't show up before the big review tomorrow, I'll wait for it. So
that's all I care about. I don't even care about my album. So I have a new banner.
Actually, and I took the picture of you on Instagram. I did not zoom in into the banner, so I'm keeping that banner a mystery for tomorrow. So
no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. It's you have to go to the show tomorrow to see it. And you play like tons of show in the recently
I'm
this past
in
year.
Hustle mode.
Yeah, hustle mode.
It's me against the world. Yeah.
Including the big one you played last summer at the Victory Square.
That was a huge moment in my life. It was a dream. And it happened, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, CITR. That was huge.
Yeah.
It was so special. Yeah.
And, there was, like, a great photo that I think Steve Louie took.
Yeah.
Like, dancing in the crowd.
Yeah, that was nice. And then the day after, I shaved my head and made their curmudgeon music video with my friends, and I will very likely never have hair again. So that's what's so special about that picture. It's, like, the last glimpse of me with hair. Trying to fake a comb over. Yeah.
Right.
So now I am bald.
And that was just like where you, and you've always been a big fan of Victory Square Block Party. I mean, I guess it's
oh my
fun,
God,
it's a
I've
super
gone
fun
for
thing.
Years. Yeah. I just see it as like an honor to the local, like indie/underground music scene. You know, like you work for years and then you kind of get this big opportunity to play. Cause I mean, honestly, I feel like so few people in Vancouver care about the indie music scene. Very few people go to Redgate and go to these like underground shows at Black Lab and stuff like that, but they do go to free outdoor shows. Yeah. I've gone for years, you know, like when I first moved here, I didn't really know anything about the city, but I would go to Victory Square Block Party and that would really inform me of like who are like the big acts or who is like on the up and up. Whatever. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was like a totally an honor to play it. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And the lineup was so gay last year, which was really exciting. It was like very, very queer. And that was a huge deal. Like it was an honor to be a part of that. You know, I've sensed that a movement has been happening in the last few years where there's been more visibility for LGBTQ+ artists. And so, yeah, it was really neat last year to be a part of that.
Did you find that that's been a difference between now or maybe a few years earlier?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yeah. When I first was trying to book shows here, I didn't really know anyone.
Right.
My friend group, I suppose, was like the gay bear community here. Mm-hmm. And there is like virtually no crossover between communities. And so, yeah, like it took a long time to meet like people in the indie music community. It was very segregated. And so, yeah, it's nice to see more, you know, I don't want to think that I'm like a trailblazer. I'm sure there have been other like gay musicians in Vancouver before me. But just I suppose at that time around 2015-16, there were very few. And I just, didn't really have like any local role models or anything like that. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good positive change.
Yeah.
In the community. Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. So there's a show tomorrow. And what other there's a plan to go on tour at all?
Did a little tour with S. Lord Efferman, which was really, really fun. It went well. I want to tour more. 2019 is the year of me being like, okay, I'm proud of this album. I really want to tour. I want to focus on this. Yeah. It is a lot easier said than done. I don't really have like a booking agent or people helping me.
Right.
So yeah, it is hard. I'm going to just like keep putting it out there to the universe that I want to tour. I'm applying to festivals, Pop Montreal, different stuff. Mm-hmm. Next week, I'm going to go to Idaho to play Tree Fort Music Fest. I will likely play to about 4 people in the audience, but maybe I'll get
who
discovered.
Knows? Yeah.
Got to try the big market in the U.S. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, last year you went on a trip with Larissa?
Yeah,
Larissa?
Last May. Yeah. Kelarissa and myself went to Eastern Canada. Yeah, we flew to Halifax and did about 8 or 9 shows between Halifax and London, Ontario.
Yeah, and one thing I remember is I saw pictures on Instagram and it was like the cutest. It's always like great pictures with like iconic, but it's like with iconic Canadian like monuments or just like we're like in Nova Scotia. And this is like totally a picture of Nova Scotia, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it was so special. Like Larissa had never been to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I hadn't been to the Maritimes. Yeah. It was, yeah, it was legitimately like a, yeah, a tour of discovery. Yeah. It was an adventure. So,
yeah, that sounds like fun. So
that
maybe
was good. The turnouts were fairly small, but it was a good road trip.
Yeah, but it seems like you, well, I mean, I think a lot of music is just like, well, you're going to make a trip out of it. Well,
the biggest, when you're not really going to make a lot of money, you need to turn it into just like a trip.
Yeah, and the biggest talk right now is like South by Southwest is happening. And literally, there's like, it's like literally like 3,000-4,000 bands that's like they're playing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I didn't apply, but it would be.
But it's one of those things where ultimately, you know, there's like literally thousands of bands playing, and you kind of have to go into thinking, well, it's like also it's an experience. I'm just going to go there and like be a tourist as opposed to.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, to avoid just being like disappointed, I guess. Yeah. You know, everyone goes there to be discovered and very. It happens to almost no one. It could be one person.
Just like,
but
it's just too many. Yeah, just like so much.
It's so competitive. It's crazy.
Yeah,
so
at the same time, there's like a million. It's like the Olympics. It's just crazy. It's just like a million people. And then it's.
Yeah.
And they do it during like St. Patrick's Day usually. It's kind of like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It would be neat to do it once, though. Yeah. Your friends are going this year. And we'll see. Maybe I'll apply next year.
Yeah. Yeah, when you do go, it's just like at least just soak it in and just see the craziness.
Yeah, and I've never been to Austin.
Yeah, Austin is a fun town.
Yeah, I really, really want to explore it.
Yeah, so. Have you been to Texas?
The very northern part on big road trip with my sister, but yeah, I've never been to any of the big cities.
Yeah.
But yeah, Texas is very intriguing.
Yeah,
it's wild. I definitely want to go.
Yeah, I've only been to Austin and San Antonio.
Oh, okay. San Antonio is really big, right?
Yeah, it's big and it's actually like the most apparently the most touristy because they got the Alamo. So for Americans, so the Americans love going to San Antonio.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Which
that.
Really doesn't like, in my, I was there for like work or whatever, but like it wasn't really intriguing to me, but it was fine. They got like a river that goes through that people were like, that's like the, where they have all these restaurants and stuff, but it's like, it's kind of just like a dirty
okay, we're spoiled in Vancouver, I think.
So it's just kind of like a slightly dirty, smelly river that they have all these like restaurants and like the patios on it. It's like, all right, you know, it's like an inland river. Anyways,
okay.
Not to a, but the transit there, no one drives in Texas or in San Antonio. So like the bus is just like $1. Like $1 gets you, like there's no zones. It's just like,
oh, wow.
You pop in $1, you get on the bus and then so that was cool. Just being a tourist, like in a, I was stuck in a hotel like far away. I just end up taking the bus. It took me a while, but it's like, it's tall, it's cheap, right? And I get to see the city, quote unquote. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I'll put it on the bucket
list. Yeah, but I don't know if it's changed now. Who knows? Things that took a long time ago. Yeah, tips for. Yeah. Also, before I go much further, let's tell everyone, this is live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR. I am Ben in studio with Devourers. If you're just joining us, you missed a fantastic set live in studio at around 9 o'clock. You can listen to the set very shortly on our website. It's what it's called.
CITR.ca.
On the podcast. So hopefully come out sometime in like late tonight, early tomorrow. Be fantastic. Yeah, I can't believe it's that actually happened like started like an hour ago.
Wow.
It's 10:15. We're having a good time, right?
Should we play a few songs or keep
I got some segments that we're gonna do, but before we go way too much further, also is how do people get your record or get a hold of you or like the website?
Ooh, I'm all over social media. I'm on Instagram, devourers.xyu. I'm on Facebook. I am on Spotify. The new album and the last one are on Spotify. You can also find me at devourers.bandcamp.com, which is where you can purchase the album. I think it's on iTunes. It might be on Tidal.
Oh, you know.
I haven't checked.
Does anyone have Tidal?
It might now be on Napster. That would be a dream. But yeah, so I'm one click away. Come find me.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, it's a quick way to get a listen. And yeah, the record is easily accessible if you just want to go on the internet and give it a listen.
Yeah, please listen to it. It's called Iconoclast.
Sweet. So we're gonna do a little segment.
Okay.
Let's see here, the classic one. Normally I have this loaded up, but we're having so much fun that I have forgot.
Uh oh. Just rapid fire trivia?
Oh, this is just a classic. We'll start with a super classic, and then there's a really short version of another segment, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Learn a little more about yourself. What kind of dog are you? Take the quiz from hell.
Quiz from hell. This is where we play a little game of just make you answer a bunch of questions from BuzzFeed. So
that sounded like my good friend Future Star.
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, 100%. That is Selena from Future Star.
Cool.
And so this is a game where we just, it's the classic thing like the Facebook quiz where they ask you a bunch of, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite dog? At the end, and be like, oh, you're Chandler from Friends.
Ooh.
You know, it's one of those, like, which Friends character are you? That kind of, that sort of thing. It's just a big list of just random what sort of thing. And I'm just going to click on one. Unless it's terrible, we'll.
Okay.
We'll, come on. Oh, okay. So this one, it just randomly picked. We'll see if the category right now is which 80s cartoon series are you?
Oh, okay, I'm not sure if I'll know many of them. Okay,
well, you don't. I'm not sure either. But hey, why not? Let's just do that.
Let's try it.
This is. We'll figure it out. We'll just play along. The question usually have nothing to do with the actual.
Right. Okay.
Actually, you know what? It a little bit. Actually, I.
Should we try a different one?
No, this is good. this is fun. I'm happy about it. The first question is pick a Smurf. Do you know like the Smurf, the TV show?
Oh, my God.
So there's a whole bunch of them.
The blue one?
There's a picture of them.
Oh.
With like a little name. If you can read them out and just maybe.
Let's do Vanity.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Vanity Smurf.
Yeah. There's a Vanity Smurf, and it's the one like with the little like flower in the hat. There's Grouchy, there's Brainy, Hefty, I guess the strong one, Papa, Smurfette, Jokey, Baby, and Handy. So we got.
Let's do Vanity.
Yeah. And this question is which word best describes you? So there's adventurous, dramatic, confident, lovable, imaginative, energetic, brave, smart, or outgoing. Think it over.
Probably imaginative.
Imaginative.
Yeah.
Perfect. There are like no right or wrong answer in this quiz. Unless you I always say unless you pick the wrong one. I hope you know this quiz because I know these songs. Pick a 90s Madonna song.
Oh my God, definitely Frozen. love that song.
But it's
so
not
much.
On there though. So,
let's see the options.
The choices you have, Like a Prayer,
okay.
Express Yourself, Holiday, La Isla Bonita, is it La whatever the Isla Bonita? Yeah.
Isla
Bonita.
Isla Bonita.
Yeah. Into the Groove.
That was pretty good.
Open Your Heart,
okay.
Material Girl. Lucky Star or Papa Don't Preach. Papa Don't Preach.
Oh, man. I really like a lot of Madonna songs, and those aren't my faves, but let's do...
Into the Groove.
Let's do the whatever the first one was.
Like a Prayer?
Yeah, that one is a banger still.
It says pick an 80s cereal, and I don't recognize any of these, but these are just like super brand name cereals. So there's a Pac-Man one.
Wow,
there's
recognize any of them.
No, I need it. There's one with E.T.
I love Pac-Man so much. I grew up playing it, and let's do Pac-Man. I've never tried it before.
Perfect.
I've never tried any of them.
I assume it looks like Pac-Man. I think what it looks like, it's like the ghosts maybe are like a marshmallow or something.
Oh.
Maybe Pac-Man is, yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah. There's other ones just for the listeners out there. There's like Mr. T, Ghostbusters, Barbie, and Ice Cream Cones.
And a Gremlins.
And a Gremlins, yeah. What Disney villain power would you want? So if you're a villain, what power from a Disney villain, supervillain, would you want? Do you want superhuman strength? Do you want the ability to hypnotize people? Or do you want to be able to cast spells? Do you want the ability to fly? Or immortality? Or see into the future? Being able to conjure objects, I guess create them from nothing. The ability to metamorphosize, I guess change shape. Teleportation.
super strength, wow, hypnotize people, cast spells, immortality, flying.
Being able to cast spells. Let's do it.
Yeah. I feel like, you know what, like, it doesn't say what spell. So in theory, you can, right? In theory, you can cast spells that can do any of that stuff. Yeah. Oh, man. This is actually, this is very 80s. So you need to pick a toy. And I think there's like a Cabbage Patch Kid doll.
Oh.
This thing, I don't know. It's some sort of monster thing.
Oh, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I had that one.
That one's, yeah, there's Ninja Turtle. There's like a Care Bear. There's a Voltron. Teddy Ruxpin. That's like the weird.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And I think that's My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Barbie. And yeah, there's like a weird monster thing. And then another weird, like a baseball, but with like freaky things. So did you say Ninja Turtles?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Leonardo. Yeah. What's your, which is your favorite turtle? Leonardo.
Not Raphael.
Yeah. Michelangelo. Donatello.
I suppose when I was a kid, I really liked Michelangelo. Yeah. He was fun and liked pizza, and I guess I connected with that.
Next question now. Which one of these irrational fears do you fear the most? Which one of these irrational fears do you fear the most? UFO attacked, zombie attacked, killer clowns, sharks in the swimming pool, snakes in the toilet, killer asteroid, cyborg attack, killer birds attack, and being stuck in a haunted house.
Snake in a toilet.
Snakes in a toilet,
Anything in a toilet freaks me out. I've seen a few really scary YouTube videos of, like, tarantulas in toilets, and it's, like, traumatized me. So, yeah, anything in a toilet. Yeah.
So this is the last question. And after this, we'll figure out which 80s – what was the question? I don't remember. Something about 80s –
What 80s cartoon?
Is there one that you're thinking you would like? Ninja Turtles would be one, maybe?
DuckTales.
Inspector Gadget would be nice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really watch that one, but, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. This is the last one. You have to pick an 80s film, movie. There is Labyrinth.
Oh, liked that one for sure.
Back to the Future. The Dark Crystal, Pretty in Pink, The Goonies, The Princess Bride, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Ferris Bueller's Days Off, or The Empire Strikes Back.
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness.
What am I, Ben?
Oh, jeez. Really? Okay, this is bizarre. This is interesting. It says, you are as tough as nails. But also sensitive.
Oh, that's true.
Also sensitive when you need to. You're always a comfort to your family and friends. You got G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Oh, my God, that's so hot. Okay, cool. I'm happy. I can go to bed happy. Wow, that's really, really funny.
Yeah, that's actually one show incorrect. I never really watched it. I mean, I watched Transformers, but not the...
just didn't quite get into that one either.
Yeah,
but that, hey, that's great.
Hey, you know, you really... I know that at the end... I think all the cartoons in the 80s, at the end, they always do some sort of, like, kids, to make sure you know, eat vegetables or something at the end.
Oh, maybe they did it with that show.
I can't remember
any episode.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is CITR 101.9 FM. Here with Devourers.
Hi.
Hello. I got a quick. Let's quickly get into this segment here.
Cool.
It is a. It's a very last minute addition, and because.
Okay.
I'm just gonna play it, and then we'll come back, and do it.
Okay.
What do you want to know? Asking the radio. Radio advice.
It's a little segment we call Radio Advice. This is which is where we we get viewers, listeners previously submit questions for you.
Cool.
It's kind of like I turned off your.
Oh, cool. Okay.
it's kind of like Ann Landers, you know, like, or what's the equivalent of it? Like the newer Dan Savage, Ann Landers, just random questions. Like, oh, my house, My housemaid never washes dishes, and
what should I do? Okay. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we got one, and I just have to find it from an anonymous. I just have to figure out how to load this. How to load this? Oh, geez. Here we go. So this is a. This is your video advice question from anonymous. It says, "Let's say, dear devourers."
Did someone actually do this?
No, it's a dear reader, a long-time listener. First, no, I think. Well, this is someone knowing that you are the guest tonight.
So someone actually wrote. This is so cool.
This is someone rich, and it's from anonymous. I need some advice. I am a girl, and I never dated a girl before. But recently, I have been going on some girl dates, and I think I have a crush.
Awesome.
How should I proceed? Do I tell her I have a crush, or should I play it cool and see if we just make out organically? Any guidance is appreciated. Thank you. Sincerely, girl with a really big crush. And she wanted to mention that really big crush is one word. So girl with a really big crush it's an acronym for GWA. GWR. And also, yeah, perfect.
So, wow, listener. I think that crushes are great. I crush a lot. I have always crushed, especially on people who are straight, who I can never have. But that is life. And yeah, when you have a crush, it's hard to be yourself. I get really flustered and it's hard to act normal. But yeah, I think that it's important to be yourself. Try not to panic or sabotage it or anything. Don't rush into kissing. Just try to be your charming self. And whether it's a boy or a girl or anyone, then yeah, if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be. And yeah, just try to read the signals. If they're into you, if they're not into you, then a kiss will happen organically. Try not to overthink it.
Yeah, good advice. Yeah. No, I think, yeah.
Yeah, if it's meant to be and the person also likes you, then it will feel organic and yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
What do you think, Ben?
I think it's the same. I think with, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, it is. I'm not the most expert on crushes, so I don't know. Okay. Yeah, that's why I don't have a, yeah, I think that's good advice. You just got to let it... Just try to let it happen organically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
don't freak out. Yeah.
I remember when you were when I was younger, you would be like, oh my God, you send someone a message. Oh, you're I have a huge crush and they almost never work out.
Oh, yeah.
But that was when I was in high school. So I don't know. I don't know how maybe things now would. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, do you have a crush in the music scene?
Well, let me...
putting you on the spot on air. You can answer after.
There used to be a... there used to be a column on the Georgia Strait where they would interview a musician or something. They'd be like...
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, name your favorite thing and then you name someone in the music... a musician you have a crush on or something.
That's interesting.
It's super awkward. But actually, every time I read, people would just totally name something that's totally left field. So they just throw it off,
Did anyone ever name you?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, that's why I was reading it constantly. Devourers, thank you so much for being on the show. I think anything else you want to add or anything you want to...
Thank you for making this show.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's it. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Ben, for making this show.
Yeah, thanks for taking the video advice question. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being a G.I. Joe, a great American.
That's the great the American. Biggest takeaway from the night.
Yeah, that should be your banner from now on.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a funny one. It's all good. And it's a reminder, Red Gate tomorrow for the Sightlines tour kickoff party.
Yeah, please come. I'm playing first. Please come for 9:15.
Yeah. And also records available. You can listen to on Spotify and the website devourersxyz.
devours.xyu.
XYU. Oh,
yeah.
So
it's a reference to an old Smashing Pumpkins song, actually. Oh. From Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness. They had a song called XYU. That's really crazy.
Oh,
But yeah. Okay. That is it. I also have Iconoclast on CD.
Right.
Compact disc, baby.
On compact disc.
Yeah. So you can buy that.
And also on Tidal.
Yeah.
Tune into get exclusive. Exclusive on the Tidal. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. All the best. Have fun.
Thank you.
Have fun tomorrow night. And
thanks.
Now I'm just gonna. Is there any music you want to request, or you want to anything you want?
I want to listen to Jerk Jails.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. We will going to load a couple of these fantastic PSAs, and then we'll come back with some Jerk Jails on CITR.
Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
She's a band.
Sick and tired of hearing your band playing on and on and on. Gosh, so loud.
Man, I wish we had a safe place to play music.
Yeah, and shows too.
The Safe Amplification Site Society is a non-profit group dedicated to establishing a legal, affordable, all-ages venue for music and arts in Vancouver. For more information or to get involved, check out www.safeamp.org.
My address is 2904 Salisbury. My address is